Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman. We have a very special guest today, a returning guest, my friend Mike Hill. He has served in the legislature here in Florida multiple times. Most recently, he served from 2018 to 2020 in District 1. That's in the northwestern part of the state, Pensacola, Escambia County. And he also served in the legislature between 2013 and 2016. At that time, he was in District 2. But Mike is just an incredible patriot. He loves the Lord. He loves liberty. He has a career in the insurance industry. And before that, he was an Air Force captain. He served in the Air Force for 10 years after graduating from the U.S. Air Force Academy in 1980, got a Bachelor of Science degree. He also he's just incredible. He's got an MBA from the University of West Florida, and he was actually presented with an honorary doctorate of humanities from the great Pensacola Christian College in 2015. He's been married for about four decades. He's got three adult children and some grandchildren. He loves music and sailing. Just a great man, in my opinion, one of our greatest legislators here in Florida. And he's now running again. So that's incredibly exciting. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your service to your country, both in the armed forces and also in our legislature. And before we get started, I'm just curious, you know, you've been one of those who've really taken the Constitution seriously. And of course, every elected official takes an oath to uphold the Constitution. What does that mean to you when you swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and then also the Constitution of Florida?
Absolutely, Alex. And thank you for having me on this show. Well, in order for any elected official to occupy their seat, to occupy their seat, two things have to happen. One, you have to win more votes than your opponent. And hopefully that's legal votes than your opponent. Then number two, you have to say an oath of office. And that oath of office says that you do solemnly swear to support, protect, and defend the U.S. Constitution and its government and that of the state of Florida. And that I am duly qualified to occupy the seat which I'm about to enter. So help me God. Now, what a lot of legislatures don't recognize, but I certainly do, is that when you say that oath, it's not just between you and the person administering the oath. And it's not just between you and your constituents. It's between you and the living God. You are promising God that you are going to support, protect, and defend that Constitution. And it is so solemn that we seal it with, so help me, God, help me to fulfill this oath of office. So whenever you see someone who is doing something that goes against that oath, then they are actually violating their oath of office. For example, inextricably tied to the Constitution is the Declaration of Independence. Everyone recognizes the phrase, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, government is instituted among men, deriving their just powers by the consent of the governed. So in other words, the only reason why government exists is to secure those inalienable rights. The very first one is life. And so we see that as an elected official, you are promising God that you are going to protect life. And so because of that, when I was previously in office, I ran the Florida heartbeat bill, which says that once a heartbeat is detected, you can't abort that baby, which to me, I was fulfilling my oath of office to protect life. I promised God I would, so I had to. And now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned, it is so important that as it comes back to the states, how we are going to treat and decide on the preborn, having something like the heartbeat bill or even abolish abortion bill is so important that we get that in place in Florida as soon as possible, because we are finding that Florida is becoming a destination state for abortions because the surrounding states around us have more strict abortion laws than Florida does. So we're seeing upwards of 80,000 babies a year being killed in the womb. Imagine, Alex, a football stadium like Florida State University full. That's how many we are killing each year. And it's increasing because people are leaving Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana to come here to get their abortions done.
Wow, that's absolutely horrific, Mike. And I did read about Alabama's got a pretty tough law in the books now. It's a felony to kill unborn babies at any time. There's no exceptions other than to save the life of the mother. And I'm told by medical experts that basically it's almost never an either or proposition. That's, you know, like a comet, right? It's very, very rare if it ever happens at all. So Mike, now that the states are considering this, so what do you think would be a good policy on abortion for the state of Florida? And if elected, how are you going to pursue that?
Well, if elected, Alex, I'm going to pursue an Abolish Abortion Act, which says that you cannot perform an abortion without any exceptions, rape, incest, you know, human sex trafficking. The baby's innocent. We shouldn't murder the baby because of what the father did.
Yeah.
So no exceptions. And it must include that we will not use chemical abortions either, which are the most prominent ways of doing it now. You take a pill and cause a miscarriage to happen. We have to prevent all, that's why I will call it the Abolish Abortion Act in Florida. Just stop it altogether in Florida.
Fantastic. I know there's a lot of people are moving in that direction, especially conservatives and Christians are realizing it. Actually, just last year, the Southern Baptist Convention passed an incredible resolution calling for the abolition of all abortion without exception or excuse immediately. That was even before the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. So it definitely seems like the mood is shifting quickly. Before we go to break, Mike, I do want to ask you about election integrity. There have been, of course, since the 2020 election, and even before, Democrats were very concerned about election integrity prior to 2020. They made documentaries about it. Some of their top senators, like Senator Elizabeth Warren, were very outspoken about the possibilities of election fraud. I know Florida has passed some new laws on this. They've created an election integrity office. But how concerned are you about election integrity? Is this still a big issue in Florida? Do we have work to do? And what are some areas where we can improve?
We do still have some work to do in Florida, Alex. The governor recently signed a bill to stop ballot harvesting in Florida, which was huge. That was a bill that I sponsored back in 2019 and 2020 sessions. And he just recently signed it in this past legislative session, which, and as you stated, he created an office to where they would investigate and prosecute election fraud. Now, I think where we have to go in our next direction is to look at these machines that are being used to count the ballots, particularly if they have internet access. We saw how in other states, when the audits were performed in Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, that those machines were ripe with the ability of fraud when they were connected to the internet. So we still need to look at that, look at those machines, how they're being counted. And we must also have poll watchers who are available. What I would like to see us go even a little step further, Alex, and I know this is a big haul, and that is to get rid of this early voting. Vote on election day. Unless you are deployed military or you are physically unable to get to the voting booth, then you can receive an absentee ballot to be able to do it. But otherwise, I like to see it like we used to. Just go on voting day, you vote, your vote is counted. And if by a machine, that machine is not connected to the internet. And I think we will then find that the likelihood of election fraud being greatly reduced.
All right, folks, we are going to go to break in just a moment. But when we get back, we're going to ask Mike about the role of the states in protecting liberty. We'll talk about Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, and how he has become the most popular governor in the country, and so much more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Mike, one of the big issues on everybody's mind, and I've seen the polling data all across the country, especially in Republican primaries, right at the top of people's list, is how do we rein in this out-of-control administration in Washington, D.C.? Now, our founding fathers thought that the states had a really important role to play there. As a state representative, what do you think would be the right way for states to try to deal with a federal presidential administration that just seems to really respect no limits on its power?
Well, Alex, as you stated, the Constitution gives primary rights to the states and to the people. What we should do then is whenever we see something coming down from the federal government, which on its face is unconstitutional, illegal, or even ill thought of, thought out by them, then what we should do is resist it, to not comply, pass our own state laws, which will nullify what they are trying to do. For example, we know that they want to have a federal police force. No, there's no authority in the Constitution to be able to do that. And we should strongly and vehemently oppose that as much as we can. And if we will stand up as a people, we see Governor Ron DeSantis, who is standing up to a lot of the things we're seeing coming from the Biden administration. If we stand up and be firm, we can be successful at stopping what we see coming out of the federal government. And thank goodness, just recently, the Supreme Court turned back the powers that the EPA was trying to inflict on various states by rules and regulations, which they had no authority or power to do. And so they did that for the EPA. That will also apply to the other myriad of three-letter agencies there in Washington, D.C., who on their own will issue edicts and rules that we are supposed to follow. The Supreme Court has shown that the 10th Amendment to the Constitution reigns supreme, that instead the legislative body is the only one that can issue laws. And so we as a state now have been empowered even more to push back against Washington, D.C.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I think made Ron DeSantis so popular in recent years was exactly that, him standing up to the Joe Biden administration. In fact, that clip that went viral, Joe Biden had said, you need to get out of the way if you won't, you know, make people wear masks. And Ron DeSantis said, well, no, I'm going to stand in your way if you're going to come after parental rights, if you're going to come after the liberties of the people of Florida. And I think that really endeared him to people.
And so I think the question is we can either have a free society or we can have a biomedical security state. And I can tell you, Florida, we're a free state. People are going to be free to choose to make their own decisions about themselves, about their families, about their kids' education, and about putting food on the table. And Joe Biden suggests that if you don't do lockdown policies, then you should, quote, get out of the way. But let me tell you this. If you're coming after the rights of parents in Florida, I'm standing in your way. I'm not going to let you get away with it.
You know, what do you think, Mike? How did it happen that Ron DeSantis became, you know, he's now called America's governor. He really has become tremendously popular in the mind of conservatives. In fact, he's being talked about a lot now as a potential presidential candidate at some point in the future. How do you think that happened? And what do you think that says about the electorate and Republican primary voters?
I think it first started when, as we were coming out of the COVID debacle, DeSantis was one of the first governors to free the state, where he says, no, no mask, you can go back to work, no more businesses being shut down. So he was one of the first governors who actually did that. There were some states who never shut down, like South Dakota never did. But when you look at a populous state like Florida, he did what he thought was prudent at the time, and we did go into a brief lockdown that lasted about 5-6 months. But then he pulled us out of that, and because of that, Florida has become known as the free state. And so that made Governor DeSantis very popular. People actually moved to Florida because of the freedom that we have here, being able to work and not wear masks and so forth. And then he did even more things to kind of push back against the Biden administration, such as the open border situation that we have, which is, you know, horrific, where all the illegal immigrants are coming in. And DeSantis actually said, hey, you send any of those to Florida, we're just going to bus them up to Washington, D.C. And I believe he actually did take a busload or two up there. Haven't heard recently of them sending any more illegal immigrants to Florida. I suspect it might still be happening to some degree. It's just probably not getting the publicity. But DeSantis has been the one who has pushed back on that and many other issues, which has made him very popular, including removing the talk of sexual orientation and sexual identity out of our public schools, at least up to the third grade. I would prefer to see that go up to the ninth grade, you know, just get sex education completely out of our public schools. That should be done at home or with your church, but get it out of public education. But because he made that move, and then Disney pushed back on that, and then he pushed back on Disney and removed the special tax status that they had. And that made all those moves showing a very conservative, liberty-minded focus has made him very popular, not only in Florida, but across the U.S.
Yeah, absolutely. And he really has pushed back on the LGBT agenda kind of in a unique way when it comes to governors. In fact, just recently, he even proposed going after people who put on these drag shows for little children. And caused some division, but certainly popular in some quarters. And actually, the LGBT movement came after you really hard, Mike. They did one of those gotcha moments, and they took like a laugh that you did out of context and made it sound like you were just some mean gay hater. But that's kind of how they do, how they're the tactic in politics. What do you think about that and the aggressive LGBT militancy that is going after conservatives?
Well, they go after conservatives, but they also go after particularly Christian conservatives.
Yep.
And it's because Christian conservatives will call them out on their behavior. You know, Alex, if somebody wants to participate in a certain kind of behavior, I don't care. Just keep it to yourself. You know, I don't need you to try and force me to accept it. I don't need you to try and get me to participate in it, such as with the drag queen shows that they want to do with children and so forth. Just keep it to yourself. You know, I have my own sexual preferences and it's nobody else's business. I keep it to myself. It's me and my wife. Just keep it to yourself. But what they do is they will go after Christian conservatives, and not just to attack their position. They try to go after your livelihood. They try to get you fired. They try to get you from earning any kind of income. And they want to set an example to anyone else who would dare even speak up and say anything against their lifestyle that they're trying to force on the rest of us, even though they're a very small portion of our population.
Yeah, it does seem like the tide is turning, though. I think trying to push the transgenderism on children, it was a bridge too far for America. Even Democrats in Florida are like, what? You want to teach our kindergartners that stuff? What's wrong with you, right? Mike, we're almost out of time. We've got about a minute and 30 left, but I do want to ask you, constitutional carry is a really hot topic in the state of Florida right now. The incoming leadership team of the legislature has pledged that they will pursue it. What do you think?
Yes. We must have constitutional carry in Florida, and we have to go a step further and repeal the unconstitutional red flag laws, which are currently on the books in Florida, and which now Congress is trying to make federal and pass across all states. The red flag law says that you can have your guns and ammunition confiscated simply on the accusation of another person. Yeah. Completely unconstitutional. It goes against the First, Second Amendment, the Fourth, and the 14th Amendment. We must repeal that and have constitutional carry on the books.
Amen. Yeah, it's such an egregious assault on our rights. No due process. They just take your guns, and then you have to beg the court and prove yourself innocent to be able to get your firearms back. It's absolutely unconscionable. Mike, we're almost out of time, but how can people get involved in the campaign? What's the website? How can people support you if they'd like to do that?
Yes, go to MikeHillForFlorida.com. MikeHillForFlorida.com. And you can get involved that way either by volunteering or making campaign contributions, which would be greatly appreciated.
Excellent, Mike. And primary is August 23rd, right?
That's right. Coming right around the corner. It's a sprint.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right, folks, I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter. Go check out Mike Hill's website. By far the best legislator in Florida that I know of. Just a superhero in my book. Thanks for watching. We'll be with you next time. Until then, God bless you all.